What is the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Is it a theocracy where religion runs the government? No. Is he the king of a powerful church, flush with money, privilege, and power? Something out of the medieval times? It's not that either. Jesus tells Pontius Pilate in today's gospel that my kingdom is not of this world. And Pilate answers back rather quizzically, "Then you are a king?" The Jewish authorities claimed that Jesus said he was the king of the Jews. And for the Jews of this time, that was a messianic title. The Messiah was the one who would come and free them from their foreign oppressors. For Pilate, it meant that he had a revolution on his hands, because there was only one king, Caesar, in Rome. But Jesus is not a political king, and he's not the Messiah king that the religious leaders were hoping for. The kingship of Jesus is only fully revealed when he mounts the wood of the cross as the sacrifice to restore us to friendship with God. Jesus says he's come to testify to the truth, and that truth is the divine love. And there's no greater sign of that divine love than the cross. When Jesus takes on himself all of our guilt, all of our sinfulness, it is then that he becomes king. And not the king of a geographic kingdom, but rather the king of our hearts. For he frees us by his blood. As king, then, he has a claim on us, because he has taken on himself our guilt. Pilate hangs that sign over the cross in Greek and Hebrew and Latin that said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." It still hangs above every crucifix, abbreviated by the Latin abbreviation, I-N-R-I, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And there's a certain irony to that statement, because anyone who looked at Jesus hanging on the cross certainly wouldn't have seen a king. But he becomes king there as he offers himself because of the divine love. So we go back to Pilate's question, "Then you are a king." Jesus says that his kingdom does not belong to this world. That's because for now it belongs in the hearts of those who believe in him. There will come a time when it is revealed for everyone to see. And we heard about that in the first and second readings today. We call that event the second coming, when Jesus will come not as a baby in a manger, but as king, king of the universe. The book of Revelation said every eye will see him. The prophet Daniel said he will receive dominion, glory, and kingship. But until that time, the kingdom of God is present in the world in seminal form. It's present in the hearts of those who believe in Jesus and invite him to have lordship in their life, invite him to be their king. Jesus says to Pilate, "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." So membership in the kingdom of Jesus comes by baptism and by listening to his voice, the voice of the king, who is also our shepherd. So what does it mean to have Jesus as Lord of my life? And how is that lived out each and every day? The phrase, "having Jesus as Lord of my life," might sound a little foreign to Catholics. Someone came out of church last night and said, "Well, Father, it doesn't sound very foreign to me." Well, he's a convert to Catholicism. In his Protestant church, it was common to say that. I said, "Well, you have to consider your audience. In a room full of Catholics, we're not used to hearing that phrase. But it's a phrase that we should become used to. Because to say that means that Jesus is the one who gives ultimate purpose and meaning to my life. That it's his teaching and his voice speaking through his church that is the guide by which I live my life. To say that Jesus is the Lord of my life, it means that our Christianity isn't a checklist of things I do and don't do, but it's a relationship. A relationship with a real person, Jesus. Jesus came the first time as a helpless baby to invite us to have this relationship, to meet him as a person. Imagine if he came as the great king portrayed in the first and second readings. He wouldn't be governing, he wouldn't be coming out of love, but out of fear. And he doesn't want that. He wants our relationship with him to be based on his love for us and our love for him. You might describe my personal upbringing in the faith as being pretty traditional. I am a cradle Catholic. So I can't say that I ever heard the phrase, Jesus is Lord of my life, probably until I was in the seminary. Something very foreign to my experience. But I've come to realize how important it is to understand that in our lives and to share those stories. I've experienced so many of them in our Alpha group, hearing how God is moving in the life of my group members. It's been inspirational. Also, those Seeds of Faith columns that we've been publishing in the bulletin to read other people's journeys of faith. There's a new one in this week's bulletin, by the way, has convinced me of how important it is to understand my own faith story and those of my brothers and sisters. When I was off to college for the first time, it was the first time I had been away from home for any prolonged period of time. It was a very difficult time for me. I was very nervous about all sorts of different things, anxious, worried about what the future would hold. And the first Sunday that I was away at college, I went to Mass because it was Sunday, that's what you do. So I was sitting there in the church at Mass and the deacon read the gospel. The gospel that day was from the Beatitudes, the sixth chapter of Matthew. And he got to the end of the gospel and he read the following line. He said, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself." And in that moment, it was as if no one else was there in that church. In that moment, it was as if Jesus was speaking directly to me. It was my first experience of realizing that Jesus wanted to have a personal relationship with me. And it was an event that changed my entire life, the trajectory of my life. So what does saying that Jesus is the Lord of my life, what does that look like? How is that lived out? I'd like to encourage you to think about your own faith journey. Maybe there was one particular moment where that happened for you. Maybe it was a series of moments over time. Maybe you're not quite sure if it's happened for you just yet. But whatever the case may be, you want to sit back and reflect on that. And then to pray. Pray and invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life. To give over to him everything. Your problems, your worries, your successes, your failures. Ask him to heal you, heal your wounds. May they be spiritual or physical or mental. And not just one time, but continuously, every day, to invite him to be Lord of your life. That's how it becomes possible that it's not me who lives, but Jesus who lives in me, as St. Paul puts it. And we remember that Christianity is first and foremost about our relationship with a person, with this King of divine love. So I'll conclude with the question that I started with. What is the kingdom of Jesus Christ? The preface of the Mass that we'll hear in just a few moments describes it as follows. that the kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. But above all, the kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom that should be living and growing in each and every one of us.